धन्यवाद।
Srinana Paramatmane Namaha. So today we have Mahalakshmi in our platform. I mean, Maha is one of the most beautiful beings I have come across in my life. Most beautiful. And Maha, I would like to mention you on this day especially. And I feel today is such a blessed day because today is Easter. The day that Jesus has arisen after the crucifixion.
It is the rising, and may the rising of the Christ's light in us all. Absolutely.
Yes. Blessing. And it's such a blessing that you happen to fall, your session happens to fall on the same day, and it's so wonderful to have you on Easter day. Yeah.
It is, because my first meeting with the Master of Christ Consciousness was through the Christian tradition.
Yes, yes.
When I was a young woman, and we will speak of that later, but first of all, may I express enormous gratitude, my dear Guru Bhai sister, in many ways for inviting me into this communion on such a day. It is a very holy communion. In the space of blessings for our beloved Nanadharu, yes, that has brought us together in this way.
Yes.
And we shall have a most enjoyable communion.
Yeah.
Happy, yes, darling.
Yes. So I won't take more of your time. Maha is one superwoman. You might ask me in what way, because she was born lover. She was born lover of planet Earth. She was born lover of peace. She was born lover of nature. She was born lover of humanity. And she is a healer by birth. Yeah, certain things you don't learn here. You come with them.
It happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So Maha, you speak in detail
about
your...
One thing I must say.
Yeah, you speak about your journey. You speak.
Are we communion now?
Yes, yes. You can start your journey from beginning. Can you hear me, Maha?
One thing before, when you say about the healing, I'm reminded of a great writer and wise one, Mark Twain. He says, God does the healing and the doctor sends the bill.
Correct.
The healing happens through us. God does the healing and the doctor sends the bill. Or the dentist. So in this one, I remember a wonderful meeting with you just by chance. I'm in Hyderabad and I've got a toothache. And I end up having the tooth removed, my wisdom tooth removed by someone. It's, you know, where it has a picture of Nanagaru on the wall, and it's Shivaratri. So I enjoyed it. Remember?
I remember.
And afterwards, I was enforced to go into absolute silence for several hours.
Because you had no
and
choice.
I couldn't eat either, just like you can't do on Shivaratri night. So I thought that was rather amusing.
A very strict way of making you silent and stay quiet.
You did, because I enjoyed talking with you so much. That was the only way. Oh, my darling, we've been traveling so wide, we've been traveling these lifetimes to find this way home. Yes. Home is where the heart is, truth is in the living, love is in the giving, who I am now.
Beautiful. And this is how this is how you came to Nanagaru singing your song.
Yes, yes. On the very first time in Andhra Ashram.
Yes. So yes. You begin from how, from childhood, this drive to spiritual life has, you know, like started, and how you moved on, and then how Holy Company happened in your life.
Yes.
Very naturally and very beautifully. And how you were led from one master to another, and then how you met yes. Nana. Yeah, you start and yes. you speak, Maha.
All right, my darling. Thank you. I didn't recognize it as a drive. I just felt very much called as a child to live in nature. Mm. In fact, I made myself a tree house. Mm. And when I later could read books, my father made a little shelf. I could take the books up, but I'd still want to climb higher than the house in a tree house.
Very sweet.
And then next door to our place in the Blue Mountains, I actually had a bush block. I made a little, what I didn't realize then was a gunya, which is an Aboriginal house made out of matting and woven sticks. And I made that when I was like 4 or 5 years old.
My God.
I know. And I would, my mother would say, where are you? I'd disappear and I'd be there with my dog. And just like nature, the world, I felt more at home there sometimes than I did in the workaday world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very fortunate for that simple childhood, no television, no car, mail delivered on horseback, going down, walking through the bush into the lake, swimming. An image comes to mind. I think I must have been 7 or 8, and it was summer, and I was floating in the lake, and it was timeless. I would go down there as soon as I could in the summer, 10 o'clock, when the school holidays were on, and would stay, and I just floated. And it was like I was looking there, close my eyes, and then would open it and see the sky. And then I closed my eyes very deeply. And when I opened, the sky was many, many colors. Wow. And I thought, what is happening? Wow. I mean, it was pretty close to sunset, and I'd lost the sense of time. But somehow with these experiences of dropping inside, being taken by the sky, trusting, floating things, you know, like on a raft or just in the water, you know, like in this, there were experiences of trust which I did not recognize except in hindsight that was places where love is taking care.
Yeah.
Drop into the emptiness of just being one with nature, our true
beautiful.
Nature.
Beautiful. I think this is where we connect most because that was how I started my childhood also.
Was it really?
Really. Yeah, connecting beautiful. With nature. Connecting with nature was the best thing I could, you know, like relate to in my entire life. Because, yes, later Nana came into life and then I saw the universe in him. That's a different thing. But nature yes. was the thing that set me calm, at peace and totally, you know, in loss of yourself and finding your true self.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
In when I was in Scandinavia some 10 years ago, I would hold meditation retreats, but walking and sitting Buddhist style, but I actually had a walk in nature to remember your true nature.
Wow.
Good, eh?
Yeah, it's amazing.
The country there was so different from Australia. It's so clean and organized. They don't have bugs because it's too cold. You know, Australia's full of insects and snakes and mosquitoes and so on. But it's very beautiful. We've come to the same place. A walk in nature, walking, sitting, being quiet, walking, and then a sharing.
Yeah.
You know, an afternoon tea and a sharing and a song and a space and an understanding of what's arisen. And you know what? I was one time in Arunachala and I found the book, I think it was from Paul Grunton, A Search in Sacred India, when he came to Ramana Maharshi.
Yes.
He said to Ramana, what is the best way to know God? And Ramana replied, doesn't it say in your holy book, be still and know that thou art God? And Paul Brunton, and that is so beautiful. And Paul Brunton then shared the moments where he would walk on the hill with Ramana Maharshi and there would stop on a rock. And then he would almost, it was almost only in that stillness did he know where he was, appreciate the country, then opening the door to knowing who am I.
Yeah.
And my dreaming has always been to be in places of nature, take friends to holy places, and even places of pilgrimage, like Arunachala, because then it makes it easier to contact the sacred within us. When we walk around the holy mountain, we can hear, if we are quiet inside, the many others who've been chanting and singing, Om Namah Shivaya, here to get you higher, whatever it is around the mountain, here to get you higher. In that way, that thousands have been singing the holy songs. And where we sit in the eternal, there is no limitation of time or place. In fact, it is all present now.
Yes.
And in that place, it makes it easy for the human to remember. And it is so essential right now in the world today where we are so distracted through the conditioning, through our manipulative, I would say authoritative, destructive conditioning to distract us from that place. It is such a challenge to hear the still, small voice of your own sweetheart. And our work is whatever we can do to provide that context so the soul can drop in and remember. May we make a prayer, you know, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. May all the beings in all the worlds know this, come home to this. As I wish it for myself, so I wish it for all beings, they say in the Metta, in the Buddhist context. So my own life, as you said, has been very rich by meeting the truth in many ways, through many masteries. And in Australia, I think I was about 13 when the direct experience came to me through the form of Christ. Yes, I'd gone to Sunday school and I'd Church of England. My parents didn't go so much, but I rather liked it, and I liked singing and the hymns.
Yes.
And then I won a scholarship to the Church of England Girls Grammar School, proper high church, and in the city. And I left the Blue Mountains and lived with my grandmother when I was 11, 12, and very beautiful. I loved her very much. She was alone, and yet she was one of a her husband had died, a beautiful poet. And for me, to suddenly live in the city and have all the books and the cathedrals to wander into, and I really liked hearing the Roman Catholic because they sang in Latin. I didn't have to hear the words, "Unworthy sinner that you are." I just heard the sounds. On the other side, you know, the conditioning, lapsed Irish Catholic, "I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, you say the word and I'll be healed, sin and guilt," and, you know.
Even I don't like that.
Fortunately, there was a point in India later where I met a great master who looked me in the eyes and he said, "Be a Christ, not a Christian. Be a Buddha." Isn't that good? Be a Buddha.
Amazing.
Isn't that good?
It's great. You are the Buddha. You be the Christ. You be the God that you are. Rather than you're the sinner, you're the sinner, you're the sinner. It doesn't make sense.
The singer. Yes, well, Papaji told me one time when I started crying because I was going to leave, and he said, "What are you crying for?" I was going back to Australia. I felt maybe he was getting old. You know it. You could feel it.
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm leaving and I'm sitting in his living room and I start to cry. And he looked at me. He wasn't too happy with these emotional Westerners. "What are you crying for?" I said, "I'm going back to Australia. I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you, Papaji." He said, "Miss me? You think I'm a body?" Now, that was before I met Dhananagara. That was in 96 or something like that. I'm a body. And I was like, "Oh, well, I'll miss that thing." He takes my blue hat, puts it on his bald head, this master, 84 years old, puts it on his head, and he looks at me and he says, "You miss that thing? You miss that thing." And I cracked up laughing. I know, we'd been watching Miss India on television at his house 3 nights before, Miss India, and all of a sudden everything comes through. The master's sitting with my blue hat on his head saying, "You miss that thing." I cracked up laughing, from tears to laughter. Tears to laughter in less than a minute, and then like the whole mind just gone, you know, like in this. Later through the lunch, he went and he said, "I'm saying, Miss Satsang, is he asking me to hold Satsang?" It was almost like he picked it up at that point in time, and he just looked at me and he said, "You sit, you sing. Sit, sing, Satsang," and cracked up laughing again. You know, taking the seriousness off us as though it's something that I have to do, and you sit quietly and you know, you meditate for 10 years and you do this. You know, it was just you sit, you sing.
Yes, sit, satsang.
Yes, satsang. And we all laughed and it was just beautiful. Wow. Just beautiful. He enlightened. He took away some seriousness in me. Yeah, about the path we're on. Because when I did get to India, and also the Christianity path too, beautiful, but it lacked lightness of being in the way it is translated in the West.
Yeah.
It's like you've got to be drunk, you shouldn't have sex, you know, all these sorts of things, rules and regulations.
Yes.
And as a teenager, you were very attracted to the spirit.
Yes.
And that time there was a minister who'd come to our school, and we had an extra Bible study in the afternoon. And I remember sitting there, I must have been 13, at the time, maybe 14, and the light was coming in through the stained glass window, and he spoke the New Testament, and it was the words of Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. There was like, as he spoke that, I felt a communion. He said, what, who am I? And then he said later, who am I? I am love.
Wow.
My name is love. Wow. I could feel, I don't know whether he actually said that from the Bible, but it was in this. And I can still remember, I opened my eyes and the beam of light behind this gentle man who was from Europe was speaking the words of Christ. Behold, I stand at the if any man come into me, love is always loving us. Love is available. It's not something we have to strive for to prove ourselves worthy.
Correct, correct.
You know, this is a very strong teaching and reminder. In my life, I must have had some history of unworthiness or some condemnation through some Christian background.
Mm-hmm.
Unworthiness. I feel, or maybe it's just the way life is sometimes. We don't feel good enough. But
yeah.
I'm
This is very important, Maha, because I mean, be it any religion, mostly religion, brings in fear. It brings in fear rather than love.
Yes, and there's only one choice, and the choice is clear. You live your life from here or here, from love or fear.
Yes, and I think love is the only way. Fear is only fear is like for the, is a barbaric way.
Totally. And it's of the ego, it's of the mind, it's of control, it's of the future, it's of the past pains projected in the future. If you're not knowing the past pains, you cannot project it in the future fears.
Yes. And Bhagwan had been exemplary in doing it, Maha. I mean, Christ did it through love. Christ did it only through love.
Yes, bhakti.
But his body was humiliated by everybody. Like, he was abused. He was humiliated. In spite of it, he was love because he was God himself. So he was love. And I think, it was made simpler with the saints coming after that. It was made very simple, reminding you that you are the divine and never the sin.
Yes.
You are the divine being.
Yes.
Only reflected as because of your vasanas, because of your desires, because of your, wrong thinking and living. But once that is corrected, you are your true, beautiful self, all loving, all pervading, the only being and the whole of oneness.
Mm.
And unless you focus here, you cannot get rid of the negativity that's been imposed through generations.
No, we must remember, who am I? Am I a bunch of body, bag, bones, image, iBook, my? Am I what I present on Facebook? all of that. Am I the I story, or am I a divine being having a human experience?
Yes.
If I am a divine being, then I have all the divine with me.
Yes,
the force is with me, as they say in Star Wars.
Yes.
I am a divine being. Then from that space, I can address my tendencies. Mm. I can address my physical challenges.
Yes, absolutely.
I am a divine being having a human experience. Until we're home, it is all struggle. And then it becomes self-improvement rather than self-knowledge.
Yes.
And this is a very important part, because sometimes in the West, they get caught up into a glimpse of the divine through a group or an experience, and then they say, I want more of that. I think I'll do another group. And then it becomes the ego hijacking the spiritual state to put it on my Facebook, which is literally putting it on my image, taking it from a sacred moment
projected into the world.
projecting into the world instead of your reality's in.
Yes.
So the space of, like, at the moment, as they say in the Kali Yuga, which I believe we're, could be description of what we're entering into, there will be many teachers. Be aware of those that, you know, you get a sugar-coated sensation, an experience of, like, I'm okay.
Yes.
And we're all hungry for knowing that I'm okay.
Yes, yes.
Yet, the space is to be aware that love doesn't come from excitement or from the experience. That's the benevolence of God to remind the mind to charvate, charvate, go on, go on.
Yeah.
We'll see the universal beauty of the all that is.
Yes.
But if you just get it, you know, like in a sort of a festival experience, enhanced in whatever way you wish, you know, like, good to know that's what's true.
Yes.
But we need to do the work and to find that experience in you. It's like the old monks who would go to the Himalayas and I'll find presence and an experience. But then they go back to Delhi and get really angry in the traffic jam. And where's their experience? It's just, it's still in the Himalayas. So it's like we need to go to these things, but we need to embrace them. And the only way out through there, this is where inquiry, who is having this experience? After, this is a very good reminder, which I use many times with the young ones because I do work with festivals. They come up and they say, oh, that was awesome, I breathed and I danced and, oh, I'm okay. And it's like, be with that. Now, who is having this experience of bliss? See who is the one who is seeing the bliss, witness the bliss. Who is having this experience? Just as you say, we usually don't do it until we're really suffering that we say, who is having this experience of suffering? Because it's too painful. So in this place, as we hold our evolving family in this basket of love, let us remind each other who is having this experience.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there's a space we can see, we can meet this glory, as they say in the Buddhist terms. You meet the Buddha. Bow to the Buddha. Then you go, Sangam Sharame Gacchami. Sangam
Sharanam Gacchami.
Sharanam Gacchami. Yes, you've got to bow to the Sangha. There is always, in all spiritual practices, a time where you learn the embodiment of that which you have glimpsed through the presence of mastery, the presence of the Buddha, a presence of an experience of love. And only when you've done that, whether it's through an ashram or through a tribal work, or through doing a discipline of a meditation practice wherever you are. Only once we've done the Sangha has it that this light that's in the center of your being burnt through all gross, dense physical bodies. You know, and Ramana said it can take years. He said there's the awakening and the homecoming.
Yes, correct. Yes, there is awakening, but then there is homecoming, yes.
And homecoming in our humanness, we're going to do it. Not just one man on a Christ doing it for us. Yes. We're going to do it. And we're going to become, we're the ones we've been waiting for. Open up this love's the door.
Yes, absolutely.
So, my darling.
Beautiful.
So, my, how lucky we are. How lucky we are to be gifted in this play. Let's give thanks. You know, like giving thanks, catching the gratitude attitude, even brings from the place. Because until we can see that, there's a tendency for the ego to claim the experience again.
Yes.
This is why the masters, for years, you know, with Nanagaru, holding that simple, gentle presence, I could sit outside his door for an hour, and my problems would dissolve while I was waiting to see him.
Yes.
Because he had burnt that out of his own being. Isn't that magical? Isn't that amazing?
Amazing. And that's what happened
and
to everybody in his... Yeah, that's what happened to all the devotees in his presence, Maha. I mean, yeah, like, of course, we wanted to... I mean, like, we have, you know, when you have too much availability of the divine, even if you know it is solved, people loved talking to him and expressing it, and he would address it like a child. Yeah, and also he was... Maha also, he would say that it was not important that he speak most times, especially to Westerners, because you can... grasp the silence. Unlike those who cannot grasp the silence, so he has to speak. So he was like Westerners are tuned enough to receive the silence, which our mindset hasn't yet prepared for.
Different pathways naturally fall in. You know, I asked him that question when I did an interview with him in that first year, so beautiful. And it was as I was discovering too. Hmm. I said, I'm here at Arunachala and I'm feeling the presence of Ramana and I'm looking at the path of Advaita Vedanta.
Hmm.
As he said, you know, Ramana was his master. He came to him when he was 35 in a dream. And he said, he kissed me and said, this is enough for now. And he looks me in the eyes and says, it is. And it was like, everything stopped. It is enough for now. You know, me who was like, you know, grasping for so many more experiences. And he's just simple. This is enough for now.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing. It was he was giving his interview at the same time he was putting a stop to your mind.
Yes.
Then and there.
Yes, yes.
So absolutely one, beautiful.
Yes, all at the same time working on that, even when he questioned me about certain of my experiences.
Yeah.
So this time I said, I am observing that you are speaking of Ramana and Advaita Vedanta. And yet, these housewives on holiday from Hyderabad, they seem like the gopis of Krishna and love you in this way.
Yeah.
And he laughed. And I said, what is the relationship between Advaita Vedanta and the path of devotion, bhakti?
Okay.
Bhakti and the path. And he said, he just looked at me and he said, Vedanta without bhakti, inquiry without devotion, is like sugarless coffee.
Yes.
And I told people in the West, and as for South Indians, that's quite extreme. The incredible sweetness you would have with the sweets and the coffee and whatever. So beautiful. But just in that moment, with the simplicity... and the space of the way these two paths, and yes, I've understood that the path of bhakti will lead to the dissolution of the ego in the loving...
In a very loving, natural way.
Natural way. And my path is a bhakti, or a bodhisattva, you could say. You know, once I've met the truth, or the truth has met me, I'm one of those people that will go back to Australia and say, hey, there's a really good party happening over there, let's go. <You know? laughs> So I've been in. But the same thing would happen when I went to Central Australia and met with Aboriginal people and became invited into 300 Aboriginal women dancing for 6 days on the earth. Because she's our mother, she's given us birth. And they looked at me and they said, take your shoes, you know, listen, your shoes off, you're on the earth, we're dancing, several hundred, 10 different language groups, very few pale-faced people. And she just said, listen to the earth through the soles of your feet, girly. And I didn't mind calling girly, even though I was 60, I think, at the time. And just a simple comment from someone else in the dance thrown over, and you're there. And it just reminds you of how much we live in our heads. And how much we have this sense of belonging which is scattered. And this woman comes up, where are you from? And I start explaining my different lineages from Irish and English and around, and I travel and whatever. And she says, I come from here. I come from this country. Right. And stop. So we get these things, these blessed ways. My wonderful, you know, neurotic, creative mind gets stopped. And that's the way love loves me.
No, but the thing is, Maha...
I didn't have to go to a thing. That's another one. Did you hear that?
Yeah. No. You
so
please
here
repeat
I am. Shall
please repeat it, Maha, because it was not audible.
I just said, some people go to a Zen monastery and meditate for 10 years, and then they get a whack on the head to stop
yes.
the mind.
Yeah.
I had
and
to watch
us,
the mind for a long time.
For us, it was like
just,
we were playing around and it stopped.
In this amazing moment. And it lightens up any history I may have had in maybe past lives of being a serious seeker. Mm-hmm. And even though you have to take it very truthfully, preciously, yet for the ego to take it seriously is the danger where, particularly in the West, people can get caught up in seeing a path and then there slips in a superiority.
Yes,
of the
yes.
I has achieved something.
Yes,
you can
yes.
never, you can never achieve spirituality.
Yes. It's not only in the West, Maha. It's everywhere. It's not only in the West.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. But you have, see, you could have glimpses of truth in the presence of your master, in the presence of
yes.
holy company, or in a whole, you know, like in a holy place or something. You could connect to the place and you could, you know, like experience the truth. Maybe a glimpse of it, or maybe for short duration. But then again, the ego raises up and it's again in the head. And as you said, you attribute the experience to the ego and you feel superior about it. Which is not true, and you are trapped in the spiritual ego.
Yes. And
which
that's
happens
even
everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why Nana is so beautiful, Nana Maha. He
yeah.
always said, you could have glimpses of truth, you could have the experience of truth, but till all your vasanas, till all the vasanas that bring the mind out are destroyed completely,
yes.
you will not be permanently in that state of being. And
no.
And he also gave a measure, you know, always he said, if there is a duality that is still persisting in you, you remember that you are not oneness.
Yes.
Till
yes.
you see, if you find duality, you are not in the truth.
Yes.
The day you have lost complete duality and it's your experience and it lasts, it doesn't waver, it doesn't, you know, like there's no mind originating from it. Till then, you cannot be deceived by the ego trick.
Yes.
So he made it very clear, Maha, because it's very easy to be trapped much more than the ego is the spiritual ego.
Yes.
It's very difficult.
It is, darling, and because the thing is, the Creator has a wonderful way to let you know when you're off base. It's called suffering.
Yes.
But the suffering with the spiritual ego has too many little pills to make it okay.
Yes,
you know, like
correct.
Too little many panaceas. So it's like, you know, you can do, you know, do yoga and get a really good, you know, a yoga, physical yoga, and you feel good. And someone's, you know, and you get, you know, 10 courses and you become, and you get an award and you're looking good and someone finds you attractive, and then you go, yes, I'm attractive, and you're don't realize that you've slipped into an identification.
Yes.
Yoga is union.
Hmm.
That's one with everything.
Hmm.
It's not distorted to be the trendy practice.
Yeah.
It has exercise better than, you know, drinking at the pub
hmm.
to, you know, in for health.
Yeah.
But there's, I've got quite a few friends who have got that yogi ego. And until that goes, and
yes.
right now on the planet, we don't have so much time to be indulgent
hmm.
in that personal, I'm okay now.
Yes.
You know, I found my way,
mm-hmm.
my way.
Mm-hmm.
Until the very essence of the way finds you, and you mm-hmm. can be in presence, you know, without doing a posture,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the traffic, with your children mm-hmm. having a tantrum, and mm-hmm. be able to hold them in presence.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this beautiful book by one of the Buddhist teachers, and he says, after the ecstasy, the laundry.
Oh.
And it's like, after the ecstasy, you need to do the cleaning, the laundry. He's one of the Sharon Salzberg and these
beautiful.
Others.
Beautiful. This
in
is
the West.
Beautiful. Yeah. After,
after the ecstasy, the laundry. He's been in Buddhist practice for 40 years. He's very good. So in this one here, I feel there's a sense we want to bypass the laundry, you know,
yes.
just
yes.
like instant coffee, instant sex, instant enlightenment,
yes.
do street courses, I'm going to be okay.
Yes.
And
yes.
No, we've had a long time, and perhaps the gift of this slow down lockdown
mm-hmm.
in this last year has been to take a good look at your life
mm-hmm.
to see what's essential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to see what is essential.
Mm.
I've had old wisdom people, Central Desert again, who told me about this year many years ago, you know, and to say, this is the year of changes. And in that place of understanding at the beginning before last year, when we met in Arunachala on the new moon, which was Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto, Earth, Sun, all lined up.
Yes.
As a conjunction which says Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto is be still, not express the power, go in. In that one, align yourself. Your outer expression, your inner expression. And 20,000 people came, and Amma had not been there since 1984.
Yes.
And 70 people came, and she said, everyone come with me from the university, from Coimbatore, and from Tamil Nadu, from Kerala as well. But in that place, 20,000 people and all the, you know, ashrams, Nanagara ashram, Ramana ashram, Yogi Ramaslakama, everybody
ashram.
There, the tribals in the morning, the forestry, the people, sat still at the feet of Arunachala, the place which is the oldest known place of ceremony. Sacred ceremony in India, mentioned in the Puranas, older than the time of Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
So at that place which holds it for the presence, the energetic whole in the spiritual life, we sat still.
Yes.
And the transit for that was over 720 years ago, a similar one that I have observed. Whatever it was a time to be aware, and also the seeing glimpse and a few people hinting at this is the year to be still at the turning point. You know, not destabilize the first time of change. Stop running the world after this money god. Stop taking the minerals out of the earth. They're in there for a reason. Be still. It's a turning point. It's the procession of the equinoxes. It is the time of change that I've heard in many indigenous wisdom times. And in that, it is also the culmination of the life of the spirit, where we have an opportunity, if we can really come home, be still, be still, and know that I am God.
Yes.
You know, as they say in Lao Tzu and in the Tao system, stillness reveals the secrets of eternity.
Beautiful. So true.
Beautiful.
So true. So true, Maha.
And if we really look at it in our lives, when are the moments where we most value beauty, love, presence? Is it when we're manic and excited on the dance floor, or when we look present in each other's eyes and say yes? You know, it's not all the huffing and puffing and getting to action in the making of dance floor love, whatever. It's when we rest in the arms of the beloved.
Yes.
And you feel the union, and if there's any words, it's I love you, but it doesn't mean anything because you are in union. You know what I mean?
It makes complete sense.
With the higgledy-piggledy human mind has a place to come home and to recognize what is true, and we can all be aligned in that stillness. Blessings be.
Your name is your name is Grace Leela. So
yes.
So Maha is Leela.
Yes, it is. Leela, life is but a play. La 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 la. So it's Leela Grace. So life is all a play. But anyway, here in this also, the names that have been given me have been very much the space. It is from the heart. You know, first one was Ma Prem Sagara, ancient mother. He just said, you are an ancient mother ocean of love. The feminine form. And I had a name which was actually the feminine form of the word Peter, and he talked about melting the rock to the ocean and many, many stories, but the feminine form of that. And he said the poetic form. He didn't know that I might be a grandma, you know, at the rock festival doing a rap poem at one point in time. But anyway.
No, but I think you have inherited it from your grandfather also, because he was a poet himself. So you had poetry coming spontaneously from you.
I know, and that is my loving, Shantini Roop, unable to hear. Are we able to hear? It just popped up.
Yeah, just a minute.
Check it.
Maha. Yeah. Grishma, is there a disturbance in the conversation, or can you really hear?
We can hear clearly.
Is there a break in between here and there? No.
Yes. From Maha Lakshmi's side, there is a bit of lag, but it's okay. It's picking up. That's fine.
Yeah, in the recording, it will be fine, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Is there anything, darling, that it would be good that Usha translates anything right now? Are there any friends there?
Yeah. Maha, as you speak, there is a short lag in the video. There's a short lag because probably it's taking a while to pick up.
Oh, it's a long way from Australia to India.
Yes. So occasionally there's a lag. But otherwise, it's fine, and it would be it would be fine in the recording, so we don't have to worry much about it. You just be a little more loud, that's all.
All right. I will do so. I wish to give thanks for this life, for this play, for love always taking care of me in a beautiful way. Often I did not see it. We cannot. I'm recalling a place when, you know, I felt very much in despair after the separation from the father of my son. And I wondered about this because the love is good. And yet that was the learning of that time and play. And I remember finding something. It was in a little booklet. And it was about Christ. And it was about the story of someone saying, where were you when I was in despair? I look behind my life, I see footsteps in the sand, I see you walking beside me, but when I was in my deepest, deepest despair, there's no one there. I can only see my feet. And the answer was, Great Spirit said, that was when I was carrying you.
Yes, Maha.
We cannot see it when we're in despair.
Yes.
Because that is the learning, to fully experience sadness, and then it is only in reflection that we know that love was carrying us, that this was a necessary part of our learnings.
Hmm.
Having had, you know, at least 7 decades of good living, it's given me time and traveling around the world to see how these are lives of integrity right now, lives of integration. We are not here by the first for the first time.
Yes.
For those that are coming to truth, if you have met Nana, if you have met Ramana, if you have met the wisdom of awakening in you, then it is you have been traveling many lives.
Yes.
And we are given this thing to experience all those unfinished businesses.
Yes.
So if you died in sorrow or in battle or in confusion, you will come in this life with those ghosts to be resolved in love.
Yes.
And I remember one time walking around Arunachala and on the inner path, and I was walking with reflection on my life experiences. And there were certain things that had been taken away, my house and my and certain ways of working. My health was being challenged, and it was like I started feeling worthless, or, you know, just what's going on. And I was crying, and I stopped on a rock. And a Brahmin priest came along, and he looked at me, and I said, since sometimes I've come here, I've come with friends. Sometimes they've received gifts and new lives and new husbands and all sorts of things. I said, feels like I've got takeaway. Nothing, you know. And I feel, you know, it was struggling, and financially it was difficult at that time. And he told me the story that Ramana had spoken, that he had heard of a wise man going to a village, and he was given a holy reception by a very wealthy man. All the villagers came too. And an old man came to him to ask for blessings for his cow, his precious cow he'd been with him. And the holy man struck him. He said, may your cow, may your cow die. May your cow die. Ramana's story. And it was like, what? And this Brahmin priest tells it to me. He said, and then he spoke what Ramana said. This was his last attachment. And he looked at me with such compassion, and he says, Ramana loves you a lot. Ramana loves you a lot. You do not need to measure yourselves by this grand career, by this great house, by this, you know, circumstances. Yes. You are on your way home to receive that which is beyond all attachment.
Beautiful, Maha. This is what I was telling Grishma yesterday. This was what I was telling Grishma yesterday. She was like, because she did a trial with you, and she was like, Maha is so beautiful. And I said, more than beautiful, she is madness. And you know what? And I was telling her, this lady I have met long, long ago was homeless, but she is in her true home.
Yes.
So God made her homeless to be completely established in her true home.
Yes. And homelessness brought me home.
We had a chat, me and Grishma, and Grishma said, so blessed, Didi, meaning sisters, so blessed. I said, probably that's the only blessing. That's the only true blessing.
Yes.
That even Nana would say, when God removes all your supports.
Yes.
All the support to the ego is removed. Your financial, your attachments, your human attachments, your financial attachments, your emotional attachments. When God slays it off, I mean the truth slays it off in you, then that you're the most blessed, Maha. People think, I mean, the notion, people think that if you have a huge house or if you have a good car, if your family is doing well, you're all healthy, you're all, you know, supported well, then they think that's the greatest blessing and people are very content with these blessings. But the true blessing is slaying your ego of all the wants, desires and all by removing it from your life harshly, which seems like a curse to the world. It seems like we are cursed.
At times it felt like that.
Yeah, but this man coming and telling you that was so profound, Maha.
Yes.
Was so profound. Yes. And you are one sweetheart who, you know, like in spite of all the supports being removed, though you were crying superficially, in the heart you were always connected to your truth so strongly. The truth came in some form and kept telling you that you are most loved.
Yes. Yes. And it continues to do so.
Yes.
It continues to do so all the time. Yes. In here, even locally, like right now, that situation's come again because of the... I happen to live in the most popular place in Australia, and all the refugees from climates and lockdown cities are coming, and the rents are ridiculous. And I say, well, I'll leave. And some young women, I had 15 pregnant women together for a beautiful meditation. The abundance in that room. Can you imagine sitting with 15 pregnant women?
Yes. And I've seen that picture. It's so beautiful.
Invited in to do these blessings for what we're bringing through, and particularly this time because we're birthing a new reality. You and I are midwives of this awakening of the community remembering themselves. And I'm saying, look, maybe it's time to leave town when this happens before I go to India or Bali or whatever. And they said, they actually started sort of crowdfunding, and they started saying, we want you to stay here, several hundred. We love having you here. You know, like, it's such a reminder
in
this way. And I said, well, the dreaming is to make a temple here. So let us do that. Let us do that. And I've been invited to so many homes.
That's it's what, Maha.
Fine. You know, literally...
Maha,
I've just been...
God made the whole world your home.
Yes. I'm honestly, literally, I was saying this, well, where do I go if I can't find a home here? Literally, the very next day, someone will say, can I... in Europe, can I send you a ticket? You know, like, it's like, okay. It's just not my tiny little, my home. So coming into the truth.
No, it's like you will not reside in this home, you will reside in this home.
Yes. And being in that way, even in this community, the people that you meet, so beautiful.
Yes,
if you you know, like, so I walk with that. I end up meeting the people. There's several hundred younger people camping at the moment around here because there's not enough homes. So I go walking, I love being on the beach, and they say, you want to come home here? And I sit with them. And that's beautiful. We're just guided. And when we realize love is always loving us, without this love, without this breath, we cannot breathe. Love is guiding us so much. Yes, I have my regrets. And when I look back, it was like, actually, I wasn't quite sure I was in that country, but now I see. You know, like, you don't always know. You know, I've got a fight on a day's notice.
Yeah.
You know, flip a coin. You know, like, but love guides us. And I think it's such an incredible time to know. Not many people have had the benevolence of being with such a being as Nanagaru.
Yes, absolutely.
You know that when you're there. You know that love loves you and loves taking care. And there's a place where, because we've been deceived so much by the conditioned authorities, the popes, the governments right now, that have been self-serving rather than serving the people.
Yes.
There is almost a mistrust, can I really do this? And it's only when we have that direct experience. For me, one of the most profound times was that I knew love has got its way with me.
Yes.
Was actually birthing my son. And I ended up in a small hospital on the south coast. And at one point, I wanted to have, I'm going to have natural birth for sure. And then, oh my God, I didn't know the pain. And I'd had a car accident and years back, and I'd had a spinal thing. And when, you know, like it was, when it hit that, it was like I screamed and I wasn't quiet. And then it was like, forget natural childbirth, give me anything. And then all of a sudden, it was like a flash. I remembered the master, the first master I met, Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, when he said, embrace everything. Everything is a sensation. Embrace the pain. He had actually given me a pain meditation when I've got a broken bone in India as well, and a pain meditation for understanding these things. Embrace everything. And all of a sudden, I'm in this little hospital, and I'm looking at the doctor and the midwife and my partner and my neighbor who had to, all of a sudden I say, keep me present. Keep me present. We are embracing everything. They thought I was totally nuts. But it's like, look me in the eyes. Breathe with me. We are going to walk, you know? And I became like a lion and breathing. Embrace everything. See this, you know, I wasn't always saying it was beyond talk, but my energy was. And just totally breathe, breath, breathing everything. And then something shifted. The focus of breathing everything, the breath became around in, because as I teach the other young women, it is breath that will bring the baby home. Inspiration, breathe in spirit, breathe in the blessings, the life force, directly from the source of all, Ra, Sun God. Inspiration, breathe in the spirit. At that point in time, all of a sudden, the child is coming, the baby is coming. The water birth is bursting, you know, in rainbows. I can hear my bones cracking. I can feel blood and see it on there. It's hearing. I'm watching all the sensations. I am simply the breath. There is no pain.
You weren't given, you were not given anesthesia.
The last three pushes, there was no pain. I was simply the witness to this. My consciousness was right in the breath, was in the belly. It was not in my mind saying, it's too much, I can't take it. I was like, face it, embrace everything. Everything is a sensation. It was like the masters were reminding me through this. And through this experience of birth, it was like the consciousness was witness, watching. There was something aligned with spirit.
You didn't have anesthesia at all, not even the spinal anesthesia, nothing.
Nothing. Wow. The last three pushes, no anesthesia, nothing, and no pain. And when the child came out, it was just simply there and put on my breast. And then it was like I was just breathing. The whole room was luminous. It was, you know, like orgasmic breath, but quiet. It was hours before I could talk. And it was just presence of love and light.
Wow.
Because at the moment of breath, at the moment of birth, just remembering. You know, before that I wanted to scream the thing down, you know, give me anything.
Yeah.
And I was like shutting against that, contracting against. And then suddenly remembrance, just embrace everything. Breathe it home. Bring it home. You are one. You know, we are one with the infinite sun forever and ever and ever. Uchi tai 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 ho anika ho anika. Hey, nay, the sun dancers sing that for days in American Indian traditions to remember that we are one with the infinite sun. So in that point, I was one with the breath of life and love and truth.
Love. Wow.
One with breath, inspiration, breathing spirit. So this was the direct confirmation. And we all need, the human mind needs that confirmation. in our experiences that we are one, so that we can anchor once again in the trust that love is taking care, that love has got its way with us,
and
love is all there is, and somehow it's cleansing me of all my past attachments, past fasteners, fears, all those things, all those memories. And this is not just individual. It's like we are part of the awakening happening on the planetary play. There is a possibility that we will come into the golden age. Some people say 144,000 rainbow warriors. Stand up and be counted. Wear your heart on your sleeve. Claim I'm here for love. Blessings to you. In this way, darling, there is one more thing to honor. The role at this time of the ancient ones that are maybe not in the body, but are holding the space. There is many beings, seen and unseen, that are supporting, almost cheering us home. It may be, you know, like my grandmother. It may be your grandmother who's passed on. It may be someone who loved you, because when you leave this body mind, you also leave the judgmental mind. You know, so no matter what you felt with your home or your family or your in-laws, once they have transcended and we have given them beautiful, thankful passing through, they have left all the judgmental mind and are just pure, unconditional love. This beautiful book by Anita Murjani, a wonderful woman, Indian, who lived in Hong Kong, I think it was, who had... The book is called Dying to Be Me. Dying to be me, to be myself.
Dying to be me.
Yes. Dying to be me. She had a death experience, had cancer. She was only 34. For several years was dying, and they thought she'd gone. The symbols, you know, the heartbeat in the hospital goes
she's gone
off.
And she's like dead, physically dead.
And she meets her father, who had died before, and her girlfriend, who had also died of cancer. But it was her father, and she hovered there, and it was like her husband came and was crying on her bed where her body was. And there was a moment that her father was communicating telepathically, and the spirits were too. You can go back, you have work to do. And she said, but I don't want to go back into that body, which was cancerous and out there. She was given the guidance that this would not be so, that she would, it would think. And within 6 weeks, she started healing again and became totally free of all cancer. A miracle. But within that, she's written a book. She realized all she was needing to be was her authentic self. It's a beautiful book. You can get it, called Dying to Be Me. Now speaking of truth on many ways. Anita Murjani. I'll send it to you, darling.
Sure.
It's very helpful for many. It would be very helpful for all those beautiful, the housewives of Hyderabad that came on holiday to Arunachala, that held me in so much beauty and grace and friendship. Yes, they were with me when I received news of my mother dying, and I really felt held in family. There's many ways we meet again, and there's many ways when we trust in love that that form of mothering can come in many ways.
Yes,
that's so grateful, sweetheart, so grateful. Thank you. I hear it in your heart. I see it in your eyes. What a beauty to be here with you today. It is my absolute joy. And I reckon this is just the first of many adventures sharing the love and light of who we be.
I know. We've been connected so beautifully, Maha, because I was insisted. I was insisted by Nana that I have to take you to my house, because you and Ram Charan were in a hotel.
Yes.
He was in a different hotel. You were in a different hotel. You came from Australia. I think he came from US.
Yes.
And then you just came to Nana, both of you. And then he was like, why are they in the hotel? They have to stay at your place. So actually, because you were Hyderabad, Lakshmi aunty, Vijay aunty, they were like, it's okay, she will, because they have a huge space, and also like full day, whole time I would be with Nana in the daytime. And yes. only nights I would go to sleep. So they were like, anyway, you're with Nana full time, so as well they stay here itself. But Nana was like, no. This particular case, these two have to go to your house. Take them now.
Yes. Well, yes. Well, one of the most blessed darshans I had with Nana Garu was what I call train station darshan.
Yes.
I had been to Tirupati, Tirupati, which also Papaji had guided me to go there. Apart from the fact he said Mahalakshmi, but he also wrote, she had another name, Padmavati.
Yeah.
I've had various names. I also met, you know, Robert Adams and Yogi Ramsarat Kumar, and I got various and Sita and things like this. But he said to go to Tirupati. And then it just so happened at that time that Nana Garu was coming back to Jinaru.
Yes.
And somehow there was connection.
Mm.
And he had some hours at the train station.
Yeah.
So we met with his assistant and a few others. We got the phones and somehow it worked.
Yeah.
And confirming sometimes it's good luck you just arrived.
Mm. Yes.
And we sat there for maybe an hour and a half, trains being late, which is very convenient. Most beautiful darshan. And then he looks at me and he says, come.
Mm.
And it was like, but I'm going the other way. I'm thinking, well, he said, come. And he sends his assistant off, get her a platform seat, one of the tickets you get where you can get on the train and then work,
Yeah.
So he got the platform one. Then when he got on there, he said, come sit beside me.
Hmm.
And there was a seat there.
Hmm.
And after some time, ticket collector comes and he just explains, this one is coming with me. And then he goes, yes. He said, so find her a seat.
Hmm.
And he looks down on his list and he says, here. You know, the office at the R way. There it is. This one. She can have this one. Done. You know, like it was just done. And then went to his place. And
so, Maha, you were just in Tirupati. You were just in Tirupati with no further plan about anything.
I was going back to Arunachala.
Yeah, and here he is. You met him in the station. He sits with you for 1 hour and he says, come with me.
Yes.
And he books your ticket and he says, get a seat for you.
Before in Arunachala, so I'd phone, you know, and his assistant, that young man, that lovely young man, Ram or something, he had let me know that he was coming through.
Oh, okay. Through Tirupati, so you could meet him there.
Like that.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's good because I'm coming back. Oh, that's right. I think I called because I wanted to come back and see him in Arunachala.
Yes.
It's still there.
So he said you can see him in the station because he was traveling through Tirupati.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Because that's right. Yes, I recall.
And then Nangaru said you come to Jinur.
Yes, and then that led to another beautiful, it ended up 3, 4, 5, in a place I'd never been before in Andhra Pradesh, and then went traveling with him to a few of his venues beautiful, like there were some really lovely, and Chennai so beautiful too, because there weren't tourist towns, there wasn't poverty, there wasn't begging, there weren't tourists, so beautiful.
Yes.
And then a beautiful place where I stayed at his ashram thing with green fields, and then would walk to his place, have a lovely meal with his family.
Mm-hmm.
And the days went on, and it was like, you know, just what good luck to make a phone call and saying, I'm coming back, is he still, you know, I want to see him, so it's been good here. No, he's coming through. Oh, will that fit in? Yes. All right. Thank you. Train is late. Train station darshan, come with me. There comes a journey of blessing.
Wow. Amazing.
Yes.
So you met Nana for many times, Maha. Of course, these were special times. But
yes.
I think over the years, I think whenever, and you never planned it according to Nana's program because you were unaware. You would just be in Tiruvannamalai and Dangaru would happen to be around.
Yes. Yes.
And it's always like that you met him.
Well, there were, and there were also things of like after the first meeting, at that time, Andhra Pradesh singing meeting, and then we went down to the temple. But before that, I went to Ramana Ashram, and he was going to Ramana Ashram. And Dr. Murthy, from who's in charge there, beautiful, I just happened to have that day my movie camera. A movie camera that I bought on the way over to India just a few weeks before. It was not long ago, because I arrived almost the same time Nanagaru did then for that meeting. I had eyed off this movie camera. I really like it. It's just the right one. I could just do it. I was just beginning to play with those toys. And they said it was $600. I remember to do, and I said, I don't have enough money, because I know how much was left in my MasterCard. The people said, well, look, let's just see. We'll run it through and check if you have enough. And I went, nevertheless, cross your fingers. They came back and they said, it's fine, you can have it. And
it was really?
I found out later on, I think, I didn't have enough. It was $400. They had to wait. I have a small income, a trust fund, that the following week it was taken out. But, I actually didn't have at that time enough money. But life said, get it. Then, 2 days after meeting Nanagaru, I'm in Ramana Ashram. Mm. And I had thought, I sat with him, I'd love to come close and watch him. I wonder what he's doing. But, and then he walked through the ashram and it was all the devotees. It was full. And Dr. Murthy says, would you like to use that camera? Nanagaru is opening up the new wing, the new dining wing.
Oh.
And we were like, what it?
Wow. Oh, really?
There was no room in there, except now that I have a camera, I go in. I go in there, and of course then, I'm right there focusing, telescopic lens too, right on Nanagaru. It was great. And filming everything, the opening of the back dining room.
The new dining room.
So when you go deeper than that, he is opening up the nourishment of Ramana to many people.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing, Maha. Amazing.
And I'm invited to witness it, to record it, to be part of that, to share through that.
You have the recording with you now?
I think I sent it on to you, a copy of it, didn't I, somewhere?
No, I don't think so, Maha, but please
The ashram has it.
Oh, Ramana Ashram has it.
Yes, I gave it to them.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And also that other interview, there's other things to do. But let us come back to now, darling. How can I be of service to you and to the Sangha?
You're already serving.
Yes.
You have already been serving us the food.
Yes, serving the food. That's what we're here for. Mm. I love working in the kitchens.
Yeah.
I love working in the kitchens. One of my first jobs in the ashram with Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh was for 2 years, just cooking for the devotees, just doing it. And then one deepam, I was right in the middle for most of the night cooking the food. It's so good to do that.
Yeah. And when did you first come to India, Maha?
I came when I was 24, 25.
As a tourist, or you came for a purpose? You had a purpose.
My degrees and things. I'd been Australia's youth representative in the United Nations. I'd started in medicine and things, but I actually just wanted to be more of a midwife and then I also realized I wanted to know what heals the human spirit more than the body.
Mm-hmm.
So when I returned from America and being there, also very significant. In the United Nations, there was 1,000 young people. I was 17, 18 by the time I got there. From all parts of the world, And then we went to an armory in the Bronx. And I realized, you know, we did songs, we did gatherings from our culture, from our countries, but there were many different doorways, only one God. There is one temple of humanity.
Wow, beautiful. So where did this congregation take place? Which year was this?
This was when I was 17 in Australia, and I actually, Australia was a bit boring in its culture then, in the white culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading, I love Shakespeare, I loved, you know, books from Europe and, you know, all that sort of thing. And I, somehow, this is the way it happened. Oh, I wonder if I could travel. And I won a competition, which was for an exchange student. You had to give a talk, you had to be good at school, you know, like a doing whatever, an all-rounder with an interest in other people, whatever.
Yeah.
I won. And so,
so you were taken by the school.
So by this organization, an AFS in America, they came from all over around the world. And I ended up in California at an amazing place in this. I thought it was going to be, I wanted somewhere really different, but it was. It was the summer of love. It was the awakening of peace, love, and freedom, and all that sort of thing. There was music, which was radical. But more than that, it was time. It was a very good time to be there, late 60s. And then I go to New York on a bus tour with different people, meeting people. And that's when, again, significant moments of realizing there was only one temple in history, many different doorways.
Yes.
There was only one God.
Yes.
Many different religions. Yes. And then, and I'd also been feeling a limitation because even though Christ and the Christian, the mystic had opened up in, and I'd studied mystic poetry. I loved that.
Yes,
and
even me.
Went back to do that too.
Yeah.
In a with mystic poetry, I'll speak you some Rumi in a moment. But within that one, there was an awareness that the spirit is within us all. It cannot be just my way or the highway, as some Christian organizations or brands of Christianity. You know, we can't do it.
Yes.
It is one heart. And that's why also I love India so much, because it contains and shares many different religions.
Yes, and it actually is all. The beauty of Hinduism lies in the fact that it embraces everything as equal.
Yes. It's good.
Because the concept of one God is understood.
One breath of eternity, one song becomes a symphony of hearts, melting in harmony with thee. Beloved one, one breath of eternity, one song becomes a symphony of hearts, melting in harmony with thee, beloved one, one breath.
Maha?
Yes.
I mean, even if you think logically, forget religion stuff or the divisions or the society or things like this, let us be honest. Isn't it common sense that all of us are made of five elements?
Yes.
Okay? And all of us go back to the five elements with the death of the body. Yeah? So, and everybody's body is made of the same five elements.
Yes.
And the breath is the same.
Yes.
The sun that shines on all of us is the same.
Yes.
The moon that we cherish is the same for everybody.
Yes.
And how is it that God is different?
Yes. Oh, my brand's better than your brand.
So I'm like, you don't need to master at your books or do PhDs to know this. It's common sense that you all are breathing the same air. You're all living.
Yes.
Yeah.
What I breathe out, you breathe in. If we stay together long enough, we'll recycle each other.
So So how is it that people fight in the name of religion if not for utter stupidity?
Because they honor what is different. Rather than namaste, I honor what is the same in you that is in me.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
honor our common yes. lessons. We go for differences. We
yeah.
go for power. We go for fear. We go for all of it.
Yeah.
We go
yeah.
for competition.
Yeah.
We make the
I think,
we make something external.
I think, no, the
seems
ego
so obvious. Mm-hmm. Seems so obvious. How come we're taking a long time to get it?
The most common, simple things, which you don't require anything but simple common sense.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's difficult, you know, like ignorance is very difficult.
Yes, but that's why, you know, like how many times do we have to sing Om Namah Shivaya, all there is love and light?
Yes.
Even like, and, you know, Sitaram, man and woman together, one, you know, we're singing these things to remind the silly, to inform the form of the truth of what is.
Yeah, and this, when you sing this, this is more beautiful. And Bhagwan, I mean, it is so simple. Even this is simple, simple common sense. I mean, which I think Bhagwan had to come and, you know, like open our eyes to it. In your sleep, every day you sleep, in your sleep, there's no body itself. Forget about the world, God, creation, everything. Forget that. Where are you in your sleep?
You definitely forget Facebook, but you do tend to wake up and go on for an hour at least. You tend to be quite addictive, you know. But where attention goes, energy flows.
Yeah.
So attention, I mean, goes, energy flows. Bring it back to who is watching the Facebook.
Yeah. And no, Maha, it's like, you know, like God had to take a form and come to show what is least common sense. That in the night, when we sleep, we do not have the body, we do not have the mind, there is no world, there is no God, there is no devil, nothing. And we are so rested and at peace. Only
yes.
thing we are not aware, we, only thing we are not aware. And he said that awareness in your wakefulness is the truth.
Yes, yes.
Well, so simple, so simple.
It is. And Papaji would say, be awake as if asleep.
Yes. It's the same.
Yes, and be asleep and awake in that way.
Yeah.
It's like you wake refreshed when you let go of your attachment to mind, your identification with form, your concern with, I want to solve my problems.
Yeah.
Your memories of judgment and regrets.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that my mind, with all this time, doesn't entertain itself sometimes with deep regrets.
Yeah.
And at one point in time, the health not so good often brings us to those points when you go, whoa, what if this heartbeat's going to go? What if I've only got a little time left? You see what you regret. And I regret the times where I didn't dare to love.
Mm.
And then that's good to see and rest in and say, well, let that be now. And remember we're all works in progress. Mm. If we were perfect, we wouldn't
yes.
have a body.
We wouldn't We're here have a body. Absolutely
to
right.
This human body.
Yes.
We're
yes.
here to learn to be loved in this human
yes.
body.
Yes.
So
yes.
to be gentle and compassionate with oneself rather than this judgmental self.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that my mind, which is programmed, will rat-a-tat-tat and repeat those conversations.
Yeah,
the work
yeah.
is stay home with the heart,
yes.
let the mind be,
yes.
let it background. Put love in the foreground. Don't
yes.
put your roses on the altar. Put
yes.
what you love.
Yes. Yes, amazing.
You know, in
yes.
the most challenging times of my life, some 10 years ago, when it was like, where do I fit in this world and society? And some people were judging because here I was voted the girl most likely to succeed. And look at her now. You know, like there was family saying, you know, you married the wrong person or whatever. You know, like there was some challenging situations. No need to go into them now. With that one, what is true? I'd go in nature. I'd lie on the earth. I'd sing to the trees. I'd come back to me. And then I'd say, may I be of service? And sure enough, the phone would ring and a mother would say, look, are you around somewhere? I'd just love to see you. There's just something I want to talk about my baby. And I was like, perfect. I'm there. I'm with the baby. I'm doing a baby massage. I'm out of my, you know, historical judgmental mind, which we all have.
Yes.
And then I'm in service to love. And once after that there, then the mind and the attachment to it can fade away.
Yes.
This is a constant process because, you know, if you've lived with certain limitations for thousands of years, even the nature of being married, where women have been, I promise to love, honor, and obey a man until death do us part. You know, that was the marriage vows that when I was 22, but I actually slipped out before I said them. But, you know, there was the space of we've been conditioned and your mum's womb's being conditioned and your grandmother's story and the society, and there's things of like you're free and you love that kind of person, but he's got a different color, you know, like, and we all love to be accepted and welcomed,
yes,
particularly fully opened and vulnerable. So it is a learning not to make the other wrong if they judge you.
Yeah,
they've got their timing.
Yeah. Yeah, this was what we were chatting in the morning also, me and Grishma. Like,
yes.
There was this quote where, you know, like, those who are more vulnerable, sensitive and receptive to the people or the world around are more depressed and anxious. So she,
yes.
Grishma was humorously asking me, Didi, how yes. true, do you find this true? I said, maybe not depressed, but definitely anxious.
Yes. Well, what is anxiety? Anxiety has got two things. Anxiety is picking up vibrations, your own and others. And if you've got really armored up, I'm right and you're wrong, and you don't feel other people, you don't feel anxious either because you've got self-conscious armor on you.
So as that
drops away, you do feel it.
But
there's things to be with it, to navigate from that place.
Yes.
Do you know in Chinese Taoism, the remedy for anxiety is action.
Yes.
Which is wonderful, just to find what appropriate action.
Beautiful, Maha, because every time your anxiousness is related to injustice or, you know, like wanting the best for others, and when good people are being treated bad, I mean, in a sense, really vulnerable, sweet people being exploited or something, and you just cannot witness it because it's throbbing in you, the anxiety is throbbing in you, and you jump into action, not because you want to act, you are driven to act.
Yes, there's something, think of it as a flower coming up out of the earth.
Yes.
That's going to flower. You may not know what color it is or what shape, but you have an urgency to flower. When the love in you cannot be contained anymore,
even if
you don't know what it will look like or how it will be received, that yearning to express the fulfillment of your heart arises.
Yes.
And so that's an action. And it may just take in the form of going to this person and saying,
sitting with the person and maybe... I have something
to give.
Yes.
It's something, it's anxiety that wants to give. And anxiety, and if there's no one there and it's just you locked up in lockdown, whatever, then there are certain practices like Kundalini, like breathing. My friend Russell Brand doing some very good things on that. You know, there can be ways that you can action. Okay, so where does this breath want to take me? Where does this impulse want to take me? Perhaps I need to speak up for this injustice. Perhaps I need to expand my level of compassion beyond my family. You know, beyond safety things.
Yes.
Just question it, but it's a very practical way for anxiety rather than taking a pill from anxiety.
No. Anxiety, it's not a personal, Maha. It's not a personal anxiety where you're affected by your family or affected by any personal thing. It's just that, you know, you cannot witness injustice. Yeah.
You cannot. My heart will not let that. And once you come home to the truth of your heart, you will feel more.
Yes.
You will feel more of the anxiety in the world. You will feel it And also depression. Someone comes to me for in counseling for depression, and I'll see, go inside. Where is their joy needing to be expressed? Rather than the psychological way is to give them the pill for depression. You know, such a limited tactic, and it's looking at the form and not at the form, not the spirit animating everything.
Yes.
Again, come back to Ramana. Who am I? Am I this bag of body and bones, this tremoring and anxiety, or I am the spirit that is animating everything? Am I the light in my heart that's showing up the darkness? You will see shadows.
And Nana worked in this. Nana worked in this area intensely, and also, what we see is a minimum perspective. As Nana always said, you do not know what is on the other side of the wall. He always said, the world will be as it is. The people will be as they are. You are here to realize the truth in your heart. And once you realize the truth, you will be of great help to you as well as whatever is your your emotion is now. You can probably, and there were times when he would ask if somebody was in a lot of misery. Somebody lost their husband or somebody was in a lot of misery and they couldn't contain themselves. It was, you know, like excruciating pain. And there were times he would ask, can you absorb that?
Yes.
Yeah, can you absorb that? So though you feel intensely for the person, maybe you cry with the person because you're very compassionate and you want to help them, but you have no means of helping. Probably you can give, your shoulder, or you can hug them, you can make them feel better. But when Nana said, can you absorb it? And, then he said, and then I asked Nana, how do you absorb somebody's pain? You can empathize. You can empathize. You can feel their pain. You can try to, comfort them. But how do you absorb pain? Then he says, when you are out of your body consciousness, when you are established in your truth,
then you can
absorb. So the greatest help you can do to yourself and others or the community or the world is realizing your very self.
It is, darling, it is. And it's really interesting to find that at certain places. If you want to clear out all the darkness in the world, clear it out in yourself.
Yes.
And the thing is, I've done some counseling work in different ways, mediation, whatever, say with Greenpeace. The organizations just called in, and there was a lot of conflict. In this, because I know the right way to bring in peace. I know I'm right and they're wrong. And a lot of identification with role. And yes, well-intentioned work. But unless it comes from a fullness of heart, of a detachment from making the other wrong.
A
bud is not wrong because it's not a fully blown rose. And everyone has their flowering. And it may be that person's karma to maintain that until he is ripe. And who to say that? It's not with me. Love will know when that flower inside you has to come out, that quivering in you to be birthed.
Each one has their own timing, and even the conditioning to erase itself will take quite a lot of time, Maha, because the conditioning is so strong.
And we've got used to it.
And honestly,
there's a point there. I was working with someone individually, and at one point I just said, it was almost speaking from spirit, as like, thank you for surviving all this in so many lives and for keeping yourself safe until it is a good time to sing your song of love.
That's a very nice way to put it.
Yes. And that was what she could, and she could hear that and be received in that. Because love has its timing too.
True, Maha.
And, we can think of stories and certain people who would like a certain way to be until it's time.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Yeah, it took quite a while.
Let love decide. Let love decide.
Decide. Yeah. And also he says, right, like, I mean, you will be in circumstances where you're most conditioned. So to break the conditioning, you will have the circumstance where you will have to break your conditioning at some point of time. And that's how love works, as you say.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know, there's things like where I am now, many travelers come to my area. It's one of the most popular places. And it's like we have farms and some of them work on that. That's the way young people can stay a bit longer here in Australia. It's a very good gathering place. And many of them, I would look at them astrologically as well, and I would see they had to come to the other side. Some German had to come to the other way to get away from that heaviness of the pain body, as Eckhart Tolle would say, of the German conditioning. They had to come to the other side, and they said, why do I feel so here and happy and open? It was necessary at this stage of your spirit to see that possibility.
Yes, yes.
So this part of the impulse of like recognizing there's a magnet in love, in light, in the things where it's like a moth to a flame, which you have the light to do it. Follow the impulses on your path.
Mm.
We are all coming home, whether it's in life or next life or whatever, but the way there to streamline and not waste the time in this one wild precious life, the gifts of it. Don't waste time if you're feeling dissatisfied. Follow the impulse. I feel to go here. I feel to expand. I feel to move. I feel to learn. Dare to do it. People say, well, it's not a career. You won't make money in 10 years' time. It's like, hey, we might not even have a world at that time. You know, like,
correct.
Dare to follow beyond your reality.
Yes, yes.
No, the still small voice of your own sweetheart.
Yes. And you you said, we as you said, not everybody can listen to the inner voice.
No.
Unless you're receptive, unless you are here to ground yourself and let it open open by itself and guide you from within.
And that's interesting. If I work with mothers who are talking about their children, and how come this one's fine, but that one, look, he wants to go off and go to the army, and then we track back and we track the influences of his father at that time and of his chart and tendencies, and it's like, well, it's through that context of heavy discipline that he will find his passion.
Yeah,
you know, like, who are we to say? He's saying, and he might be like angry and frustrated. He's angry and frustrated because he's not in touch with his passion. But by doing that and saying, yes, I will do it, he will authentically find, okay, that's given me enough structure so I can stop and listen. You know, we don't know the things, but to guide people to a little more beyond the idea, but, you know, his father was a good doctor and he needs to do that too. You know, like, to move beyond our expectations, that's a subtle one, particularly parents.
Yes.
Because we think they're our children. Our children are not our children. They come through us, but they are not our children.
They're not our children. Yes, absolutely. Maha, this is where I think most parents are conditioned. Which includes me, because as a parent, you won't realize that you are conditioning them with your conditioning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's necessary. You are responsible for them when they're, you know, 3, 4, the death of babies.
Yes.
But when it comes to a point, the co-decisional creation mate, as they merge into their young men, testosterone growing up, then it begins to be a merging and an emerging.
Yes, yes.
Of, you know, emerging of the responsibility and then allowing the emergence of his sovereign spirit, his sovereign knowing.
Yes.
And that we've just got to take the brakes off. And our conditioning as well is like, oh, is that what's really pleasing you right now?
Yes. Nana says, you have given birth to their bodies, not to their destiny.
Not their soul. Yes, very good. Take care of your body.
Yes.
Here we go here.
Yes.
What
yes.
a living and learning. What a gift at this time.
Yes.
It's really wonderful to yes. a space that I'm feeling in my own community and globally to start beginning to see what is the gift of this incredible sacred stock. Did you know that I was on my way back to Bali on the 23rd of March to do a retreat called A Sacred Stock, Refresh, Reset?
Oh, okay.
Last year.
Yeah.
But I couldn't go because the world was doing A Sacred Stock,
yeah,
Refresh,
okay.
Reset.
Yes.
I was going back because the Balinese New Year is called Nyepi, and it's in the new moon in March, and they stop everything, all business, all work. They even shut the airport every year for at least 36 hours. Mm. Everything goes quiet. And I've been there, and you go home to your family, 2 days burn everything, clean everything, you know, the past. Then you have 2 days where you just are quiet with your family. You don't even cook. You prepare things, just being a human being. Not a human doing. And then you have 2 days going to the temple, the waterfall, refreshing, honoring, giving thanks, creative dance and celebration.
Right.
So beautiful. I love Bali. It's Hindu held, but even more gently into with the sort of almost pagan tropical influence of honoring nature as the god. They
right.
have a temple to the waterfall.
Oh.
So, you know, it's like beautiful, but Hindu held with that respect for all cultures. And so we decided the year before that we would do a retreat, a six-day retreat. But those 2 days, as the whole country was going still, we would also be in total stillness and presence.
Yeah.
But I couldn't even get back to Bali at that time. The sacred stock had begun. Like the day before.
Yeah. And Maha, you were with many masters, and you just happened to be there, or you wanted to you know, connect yourself spiritually, so you wanted guidance, and that's the reason you traveled to India.
There was always a strong calling to India, but the way I actually got there, at that time I was in London. And I got a 60-quid ticket to Damascus, Syria. And then I was meeting some friends and we were going overland. I wanted to go to India earlier in the year, but the bus was blocked with snow. We were going to go on an adventure overland. Anyway, I'm in London and I'm waiting for my flight to Damascus and joining them overland. And the plane doesn't come. And we're sitting there, and it's like, then we hear it just leave, and then we hear the airport's been bombed, and the plane won't come, and something else will happen. So I spend 2 days at Heathrow Airport. I'm 24 or something. I had a really good time. And, you know, played cards, and we just met people. And all of a sudden, a man comes through, and I can remember him, Pan Am Jumbo Jet, but he was English. He said, does anyone, I'm going, because the flight was going to go to Damascus, Delhi, even though I just paid that. Does anyone want to go to Delhi direct on a Pan Am Jumbo Jet? And I went, I will. And 2 hours later, I'm on the plane. I arrive in Delhi. I know no one. I'm 24 years old.
Oh, God. Oh, so there was a bombing in the airport or something?
In Damascus, Syria.
In Damascus. Oh, in the airport there was bombing, so all the flights were stopped.
The particular plane that I was on had stopped.
Oh, okay.
It was on or something. All we got was in the airport. No plane comes.
So you had to stay there, and after a while, after 2 days.
Two days we stayed in with sleeping bags. I was ready to go to, in, you know, then camping and stuff too. With my backpack. I was 24. And then I just, it was good. And then that 2 days in the airport, and then he says, anyone want to go direct to India on a Pan Am Jumbo Jet? And I put my hand up and I went,
and
yes.
And you land up in Delhi and doing
and
what?
2 hours, within an hour and a half, I'm on the flying out of London, and I arrive in Delhi, and it was like my friends are traveling on a thing that I was going to meet on the way, and I don't know anybody. Not a soul. and I'm in Delhi and I feel great. And that's wonderful. And I walk, I'm in trust. I mean, I didn't know what I know now. I wouldn't have been so foolhardy, but somehow I was in trust.
Yeah.
And I went to the main area. And then I look, if I'm in India, where do am I drawn to first? And it was like the Himalayas. And I looked on the maps and I went down to the train station and I found this lovely thing that you queue for hours to get a ticket to get into the ticket queue. And then I got a ticket for the following day to go to Kashmir. And I got on the train, and this is very interesting. I hadn't talked with many people in English, almost everyone, Hindi, you know.
Yes.
And stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm on the train, and I'd like to speak English. And you speak English?
Yes, no.
An older man had got on the train on further down, and I went back and I said, do you speak English?
Yes, ma'am.
And we had this amazing conversation. He's American, he's South, he's whatever. And guess what? He's going to Kashmir. Why are you going here? I'm going to Kashmir because when I was up in the moon, I saw a place, there was light there. I went up in the moon. He was an ex-Apollo space design engineer who went to the moon.
My God, okay.
That was the first major conversation in India. And his story was, his story is there in Wikipedia, Edgar Mitchell. He had his spiritual awakening as he broke the bonds of gravity traveling to the moon.
Wow.
Amazing. He said it was the most intense moment. From a nine-year-old boy, he'd always wanted to be an astronaut and go to the moon. Did all his college, schooling, naval college, you know, NASA, all those things, all the time to get there. And he finally made it. And he was in charge of the ship, the fifth or the sixth one going to the moon. Yes. And it's been his dream, years' dream. So he's there. He said, yes, ma'am, it was rather intense as you're breaking gravity. You've been, you know, like in anti-gravity changes. He said, but you've no idea. You've got to hold the ship. It's really hard. All the instruments. If he misses 1 degree, the ship spins, and then they're out to lunch. And end of the tour, end of his life. So then he said, then we're through. He said, you don't know what it's like to be consciousness without a body. No gravity. And for him, at that point in time, maybe good luck, he looked into the rear vision mirror on the spaceship, which was intensified telescopically to see the details. He turned the camera around to look into the Earth. And he went, oh my God, the beauty. He turned it back from the stars to where he come from, the source. So beautiful. He said his heart burst open at the beauty of this Earth. He said the color, whatever. And it was like so beautiful. He said his heart burst open. And I said, it was like he said, the light of God, you know, creation. He'd been scientific bummed down, you know, focused with his head on the science. I said, what was it like when you got to the moon? He said, and this had been his dream, he said, I couldn't wait to leave. I couldn't wait to get off. There was nothing there. It was grey, no attraction. All I wanted was to get back to the beauty of the living creation of the Earth, the Beloved. And he has the record for the longest moonwalk. You can read it on Wikipedia as well. But I got it directly from him. It's this man who, when he came back, he started seeing the... He said, then I had fear, because then my heart had been going to so much love. In his way of science and his channeling for all that time, it was not there. Do it, put the flag on, you know? He went with his transformation. And he said the beauty of that, he saw lights around the planet. He realized he finished his work, he left that, and the lights were, he was finding, were places of human consciousness or earth consciousness. Machu Picchu, Arunachala, the pyramids, and he had seen lights in the Kashmir, in the place up in the place high mountains, and he was going to see what was there. And invited him. Isn't that amazing? My first conversation in India before is with someone with the whole thing, sharing his story of awakening. And if you see the things, the way he looked back to where he had come from, the beauty of the earth, the way he had done the American dream and the scientific mind straight to that, but allowing at that point in time grace to guide him to where attention goes, energy flows, he looked to the beauty. Satyam Shivam Sundaram, truth, love and beauty.
And here, your first time in India, landed in Delhi, you took a train to Kashmir and you happened to meet this man who's been to moon and who has been awakened midway when he lost the gravity.
Yes. So, it's understandable how then I went to India for 6 weeks and I stayed for 6 years because we didn't need visas. And I kept trusting and love kept showing me the way.
And where all did you go in your love and way in these 6 years, which have come for six weeks?
Yes, the Himalayas first, Kashmir, beautiful, and that place where they even say the three wise men came from, and many other stories for another time. Very beautiful and places there. Then I came, and then I went to Dharamsala, and I met the Dalai Lama. And I also started Vipassana, where you're meant to stay still for 10 days, but I was 24, and 3 days was enough. And I went, I want to go on adventures, and adventures happened. And I walked in, and this young man came to me and said, are you coming with us to Pushkar? And I went, well, who are you really? I said, who are you? Where's Pushkar? But I ended up meeting six other people, and we traveled in a van down to, from Dharamsala, the beautiful meeting with the Dharamsala himself, but adventures then into down to Delhi and stayed in a camp, and we got this huge gypsy tent. And then we traveled down to Pushkar in Rajasthan for the gypsy festival and also the Pushkar Mela.
Oh, the Kumbh Mela.
The what is it?
Kumbh, the Kumbh Mela.
The Kumbh Mela, which is in Pushkar, where Brahma dropped a... And on the full moon in November.
My God. You were 24? You were 24. You were 24.
Yes. I'm happy that there's trust in me, darling. Trust in love. Which somehow, although, you know, as a child, I didn't feel particularly wanted. You know, I think I've told you personal stories of the family, what was going on then. Yet somehow, even that circumstance at that early age gave me a space to trust in myself.
Amazing. Amazing, Maha.
Yes.
And I think the trusting in yourself took you everywhere in love and truth, and yours was a very natural journey in truth.
Yes.
And beautifully guided all through.
Yes.
Which made you a blessing for yourself and for people around them. For the whole place in general. Yes. I mean, it's so amazing. I don't think one session would do justice.
Well, we can always meet again, darling. The lights actually grew in, and maybe that's of great value, because to see how this wisdom plays out in the ordinary everyday life, the extraordinary order and ordinary, you know, the Buddha, to bring it into, I love this place when someone who's been thinking they have to do a lot in order to be themselves, basically, to get off, to do this.
Maha, I think the next session also we'll do together.
I love doing it with you, darling. It flows so beautifully.
Yeah, because you have so much more to speak, because you have so many, you know, like, I mean, beautiful experiences where truth took you to places you were not working with your mind, you were not planning with your mind, and you just went with where truth took you.
Yes, and yes. Where you felt this. And understandable, just to support those that are like, well, how can we do this beyond that?
Yeah,
just take it in. Where does creation song lead the guidance to of creation song? If, for instance, just think of love and birth and play, love will give you something in your heart, there's a sparkle in your eyes, you see there's a light, you come together, you make love, the baby comes, isn't she lovely? Love is, when you sort of follow what's in the emails.
Yes.
That's where creation leaves the emails of creation, in your heart, giving yourself the space to feel what you truly love.
Yes.
We were speaking of this last time, this last moon, which was really good in clearing with relationship things. It was an Aries sun, a Libra moon. Mm. Be yourself, yet hear the other's tune, Libra. Come together in grace and balance and harmony, but Aries, in your own unique and individual way. Shiva Shakti, this sun, this moon, be your own unique and godly tune. Hide off from the darkness of this day. Be your soul song, so we all may play, and together we will welcome in a brand new day.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So, because we are running out of time now.
The last one is a Rumi poem.
Yeah.
Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, this field, I'll meet you there.
Yes.
When the world is too full to talk about language, ideas, even the phrase each other, separation, doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it doesn't.
Out there, out beyond, we shall meet there and rest in the field and receive the wisdom which is only an echoing of that which is singing inside in the wisdom of your own sweet heart. Get a Rumi and me. Blessings be.
Let's meet. Let's meet in the place where there is no wrong and right.
Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala. That which doesn't move, the mountain, as Ramana would say, walking around the mountain, as we have enjoyed. You have been my favorite friend who... So many times we've dove in over the years where here we walk to recognize the truth that as the body's moving in the world, something is magnetically connected to the focal point, reflected in the flame of our natura.
Yes, yes. Beautiful. We will do another session, Maha, because there's a lot more that you need to share and there's a lot of work that you've been doing all through. So we would all love to hear that too. So we will, whenever you're convenient, we will do another session.
Oh, yeah. So lovely. And love to all of you. I'd love to see you if it's possible sometime.
Yeah.
If you've got things on.
Yeah, maybe. I think there are many people connected, maybe now 30 of them, and it'll be difficult to see all of them on the screen. And yes, of course, your recording also will be, heard by many later because...
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, probably not all of them can be live now. So the recording will be played later. So it will be stored in the website of Nangaru. So anybody can watch it anytime.
I love this.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I have one more song. More song.
Yeah.
Arunachala. Shri Ramana Rupa, Shri Nanaka Deva, Arunachala,
Shri Ramana Rupa,
Shri Nanaka Deva. Something like that. Wasn't that one, the first one?
Yeah. Arunachala, Shri Ramana Rupa, Sri Nana Guru Deva Arunachala.
Yes. Sri Ramana. Thank you. Thank you, Maha.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Om Sri Ramana Paramatmane Namaha. Love you.
Thank you.